F1, then judge it, you know. So there is going to be a consequence for not receiving or rejecting the word. And it says the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge in the last day. And I want to make an application that the word, in your one tonight, you've heard the word of God time and time again, and brethren and brothers in the prayer meetings, they pray for you, dear children, that have parents that are gathered to the Lord, that they know and you know, you've heard the word of God for as many years as you've been old. Whether you're 6 or 7 or 5 or 10, you come to meeting, you come to gospel meeting, and the desire of the Lord Jesus is to save you. That's what he wants. He wants to save you. He doesn't want you to reject him. And he doesn't want you to turn away from him. And he doesn't want you not to believe and not to hear, because he wants you to hear his word. That's what it says is going to judge, the word. The word of God. Now it says in another scripture reported today, that in the wicked shall judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. That's the Lord Jesus is going to judge. But when the Lord Jesus was on earth, you know, I think about this afternoon, and there was an example of, I think you might say, there was a woman who had sinned greatly, and there was these Pharisees, and they took this woman and they grabbed a hold of her, put her in, brought her in where the Lord Jesus was, and they threw her, when I say, in front of the Lord, and they said, they started acting, putting accusations on her, said she was caught in a terrible sin. Right in the act of it, they told the Lord, Moses says she should be stoned. What do you say? That's what they said to the Lord Jesus. They tempted the Lord. They didn't like the Lord. They hated the Lord. They wanted to find a reason to get rid of him, that they could say it was legitimate, that they wouldn't have to have a conscience. But the Lord Jesus was perfect. And so, what did he do? He didn't say a word. He stooped down on the ground and he started to write. You know that story. He started to write in the sand or in the dirt with his finger. And they kept talking. They probably began to wonder what he was doing. Maybe they saw what he wrote on the ground. I think he may have stood up, or maybe he stooped again and wrote. I can't remember, but I think he might have wrote twice. And then he stood up, and you know what the Lord said to them? He said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. That gripped their consciences, and it smote them right to the core of the heart. Because those men that stood there were sinners the same as her. Maybe even the same sin. And instead, they went out from the oldest to the youngest. And the Lord turned to her and he said, where are thine accusers? You know, because it said that in the mouth of her, not the two or three witnesses, they could be put to death. And I think it was even in our chapter when it today, Moses, well, I've gone down, and he was in a different portion. But they died by the law, by two or three witnesses. And these men, they wanted to get the Lord to judge. But you know what? In a way, not what was designed for the Lord Jesus to judge. It was their time to save. He was to save. And he dealt in grace with that woman. And I think there was blessing. There was blessing. He dealt in grace and love. He warned her. So there's the word of trust in her. But she didn't do what those men wanted. Well, what I have on my heart is a little earlier in the chapter, in verse 24. I've been thinking about this a little bit and enjoying it, troubling my soul. John 12, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Now, I was thinking, you know, the Lord Jesus is talking about he's going to die. He's going to be, as it were, that corn of wheat that falls into the ground, a picture of death. But it says, if it doesn't die, it's going to abide alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. It brings forth much fruit. And you can, there's fruit here tonight from the Lord Jesus' work on the cross. We thought, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Sometimes I just wonder, how the Lord can be satisfied with us. With me, I should have to say. But the Word of God says he is. He is. So I was thinking about wheat a little bit. And when wheat's planted, I don't know much about it, but I do know as far as this, that when it grows and it has enough time, it grows up, it becomes a crop, and you harvest it. You harvest it, and there's a fruit that comes off of that one kernel that was planted in the ground. That one seed is planted, and the sun comes, and the rain, and so on, and it grows in the process of time, and it has a head of a crop of stalk. And I don't know how many kernels. One brother one time told us about corn. And you put one seed in the ground, and I don't know how many, there's so many rows on a corn, how many pieces of corn is on the ear of corn, and so on. And you think of that one kernel and what it produced. You know? But the fruit of the Lord Jesus? It's millions. It's millions. There's never been something planted like it that has produced and is going to produce more fruit than there's ever been. In Revelation, it talks about 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands. Those are saints in heaven. Those are souls in heaven. That's from a fruit from the Lord Jesus. The dear one tonight, we want you to be saved. We want you to be part of that fruit. Part of this fruit that's from the work of the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. Hey, go to John chapter 4. Verse 34. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Dear one tonight, the fields are white. If I can apply it this way. And unless everyone is saved here tonight, the field is ready to harvest. The Lord Jesus wants, if I can say this reverently, he wants a harvest tonight. He wants some of that harvest to come in. Some of that fruit that he bore so much for, the travail, what he bore from a hand of a holy God, of what we deserve. He wants to see fruit. He wants it. And here he says, don't wait 4 months. The harvest is in 4 months. It's tonight. Tonight the fields are white. You can go anywhere in the world and they'll be white. They'll be stuff ready. There are souls that need to be saved. Anywhere you go. Let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 12. read this verse the other day and it struck me. I started from the Lord. 1 Samuel 12. Part of verse 17. Is it not wheat harvest today? Isn't it today? Today, dear one, you know, there's a verse that says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. The Lord Jesus today wants you to be saved. Can you trust? Can I trust that today for you, if you don't know the Lord, today is the day when you are. Today, tonight, not 4 months when the harvest is due, but today. It says, if not, we harvest today. Why did Samuel talk about this? I was wondering in connection as to why this came up. Why did Samuel ask that question? I was wondering, why did he say that to the children of Israel? Is it not wheat harvest today? Now, there was going to be a judgment that Samuel was going to bring on this wheat harvest. But there was a reason why. And I believe the reason why was because of their state of soul with God. They desired a king. They desired a king. Let's go back to chapter 8 for just a minute. We're going to find out hopefully a little bit as to why Samuel said what he did in chapter 12. But in 1 Samuel 8, start at verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together, came to Samuel, unto Ramah, and said unto him, behold, thou art old. My sons walk not in my ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. You know, dear one tonight, do you desire a king? We're going to find out a little bit. Maybe we should go on and then we'll talk about that a little more. The Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say to thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me, served other gods, so do they also under Jesus. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people that asked of him a king. And so Samuel, he talks about this king. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, you're getting old, and your sons don't care, and you know, we want a king. We want to be like the nations around us, and we want a king. And the Lord said to Samuel, they've rejected me. They've rejected me. And they've served other gods, but he says, protest. That means, don't agree with them. Tell them you don't agree with them. So that they are aware of what they're asking. And dear one tonight, if you're without the Lord Jesus, you might say in a way, you're the king of your life. You're the king. Israel said, we want a king. We don't want to trust God anymore. And we'll see that in this chapter 12 in Judah. That's what it boiled down to, is that they said to Samuel, really what they were saying is, we don't want God anymore. We want a king. We want to be like the other nations. And dear ones tonight, if you don't want the Lord, If you say in your heart, I want to be like other people. If I could save the other nations, I want to be like the other ones around me. I want to have fun. I want to enjoy my time here. I want to, and maybe someday then I'll consider and I'll think about it. The Lord says, you don't have 4 months to harvest. The harvest is 4 months and you can't wait. Is it not wheat harvest today? Isn't it today? Today you need to be saved. The children of Israel said, we don't want God. And they're in their own way. They said, we want a king. And this king, we want him to go out and fight a battle for us. We want somebody to lead us and to judge us and to tell us what to do. And later in that chapter 12, Samuel says, don't you know what God has done for you? Don't you know what he's done? And then he rehearses to them how that he took them out of Egypt and so on. He goes through a time of telling them, aren't you going to trust God? Aren't you going to trust him? Why do you want something else to take its place? And dear one, tonight, that's the question to you and to me. Do you want God to be Jesus? Do you want him to be Lord? Or do you want to be your own Lord? Do you want something else to be your king? Do you want something else to try to meet your needs? Israel, so many times, they got into trouble. They sinned against God. And they cried to God, and God gave them a deliverance. I think in chapter 12, Samuel tells us, there are many women. There are four. We'll look at it a little bit later. But he tells them all these things because he wants them to understand they're turning away from God. And you know, Paul, and I've thought of this before, the Apostle Paul, he tells Philippians, he says, and I can tell you, and I just trust that he'll be more in my soul. But he says to the Philippians, he says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Paul knew who God was. He knew, and he learned, and he trusted God. He trusted the Lord. But he said to the Philippians, but my God shall supply all your needs. And Paul was saying, my God, because it was his. He made it his own. And here one tonight, can you say that in your soul, my God? You know, Thomas said, my Lord and my God. When he saw who the Lord was, he could say it. It should have been more by faith, but there than Thomas, he saw the Lord in front of him, and it just took his heart.
It took his heart. That's wonderful. Tonight, dear one, if you could see the Lord Jesus by faith tonight, and that's where how you've got to see him. You've got to see him by faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What a wonderful word of God. If you lay hold of the word of God, there is rest and joy and peace. There is security and satisfaction when you can rest your soul on the word of God. Christ died for our sins. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. There's brothers, I could quote hundreds more of them. But that is real. It's fact and it's real, and you can rest your soul on it, dear one, tonight. The Word of God is true. It's true. It cannot lie, and it will not lie because it wants your blessing. It cannot lie. The Word of God is pure. It's holy, and it brings life. It brings life. Well, these Israelites, they said, we don't want him. We want a king. Down in verse 19 of chapter 8, it says, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like the nations, and so on. Samuel heard all the words, rehearsed them to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, in verse 22, "Hearken unto their voice and make them a king." That's pretty solemn, isn't it? Dear one, the Lord Jesus doesn't want to let you go tonight. The Spirit of God strives with you, and you know it as well as I do. He does. He speaks to our hearts and our consciences to wake us up to the fact that we have a need. We have a need, and the need can only be met and satisfied, like our song says, by Christ. That's it. There is no other answer. That is the answer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you accept Him as your Savior, He's going to cleanse you from your sins. He's going to make you fit for heaven. And you'll have a relationship with God as your Father that you never had before. You're going to know God as your Father. Well, that's a wonderful thing. Well, down in chapter 9, Samuel, this is the king coming. There was a man, verse 1, Benjamin, whose name was Kish. Verse 2, he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. There was none among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So there were some donkeys or some asses that Saul's father had lost. They had gotten lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, "Take now one of the servants with thee. Arise and go seek the asses." You know, I was thinking about it. It makes me kind of sad. You know, it did this morning, but the breaking of bread. I was thinking about Exodus 34, I think it is. It's in two or three different places. But it talks about the firstling of an ass, a colt, was to be redeemed. Was to be redeemed. When an Israelite, when their ass or their donkey had a baby, a firstling, they were to redeem it. They were to redeem it. Why? You know why? Because it's a picture of an unclean, or it is. The ass is an unclean animal. It's unclean. The cow, the bullock, the sheep, the pigeon, those things, they were clean. They were a clean animal. And they were used for sacrifices. But the ass was an unclean animal. And it had to be redeemed. Well, it says in Exodus, it says there, if it's not redeemed, what do you think was going to happen to it? It says they would break its neck. They would have to kill it. But if the person, the Israelite, didn't want it killed and he needed it for his work or whatever, then it said it had to be redeemed with a lamb or a kid. But I was thinking of it this morning in the breaking of bread. The lamb. A little picture of the Lamb of God taking the place of the unclean. You know? So that unclean could be used. It had to be redeemed. And dear one, tonight, we're born in sin. We're like that firstling of an ass. We're unclean. We're unclean. We've got to be redeemed. And the Lord Jesus was that Lamb of God. He was that Lamb of God that died in our stead, that we might live. But you know, I thought about a little bit what God, if I could apply it this way, what God would think when He would look at that unclean. If I could say that man was maybe like God, and He would look at that unclean and He would look at that lamb. He had to give one of them up. He wasn't going to be able to keep both of them. He couldn't keep the lamb and he couldn't keep the unclean animal if it wasn't redeemed. And so he chose. God chose. He chose the lamb. You know, in Luke, it talks about the colt. I think it's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three, I think, accounts talk about the colt. And you've heard, little ones, you've heard people, brethren, talk about that colt that was tied in the Gospels that the Lord rode into Jerusalem on. And you know what it says about that colt? When those two disciples went to find that colt, you know what it says? The Lord says to them, when they ask you why you're doing that, when you go to unloose them and take them, when they ask you why, you tell them, the Lord hath need of him. He does. And dear one, tonight, the Lord hath need of you. He has a need for you because he loves you. He loves you, and he's got a need for you. His heart, it says, there's joy in heaven. I can't remember. There's joy in the angels of God in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. That repenteth. There's joy. There's joy in heaven. And it brings a joy to the heart of the Lord Jesus when a soul rests on him, puts their faith and trust in him, and says, I'm like that unclean animal, Lord, and you've died for me. You've died for me. Just like that lamb in the Old Testament, it had to be offered in the stead.